ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Power Pedo's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sport Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it! This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums on the radio. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. Of course, straight in, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the two-hour edition, Sunday, 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time, of course, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio. And yeah, we're going live on Twitch.tv as well, of course. The Twitch.tv, the video thing is new as far as the studio is concerned, and Networks wants us to do this, and I'm getting off on it, so straight up you can check us out, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and for 2 hours I hope to either entertain you, inform you, or maybe even tick you off to an extent. If I can do one of the three, I think I've done my job. Of course, the Godfather Larry Merchant will be here, the retired HBO Godfather. We'll hear from Oscar Valdez, of course, the King, 130-pound champion, of course, the WBC champion, the man that silences critics, and of course the odds makers with a knocking out 5-1 favorite Miguel Burchell a fortnight ago. We'll hear from Oscar, of course. We'll also delve into the world of Dillian White, of course, the heavyweight from the UK that won a rematch with Dillian White yesterday. It was on DAZN. Of course, if you haven't got DAZN yet, I guess you're missing boxing. And guess what? Oscar De La Fishnets, that's right, the champion drag queen himself, Oscar De La Hoya, is coming back. That's what he says. July 30 is going to fight a UFC fighter. Wait, you know what? I'd have a better chance of fighting him than a UFC fighter. That's what Oscar's doing. Oscar's playing games. You are but here's the question. Will he shave his legs and will he show up in nylons? That's the question. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet if you dare. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. The number? 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk.
There's no exception to the rule.
You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
WBC interim title on the line, of course, across the pond. What can I say? Dillian White, of course, the lazy guy that he is now, 29, take that back, 28-2, 19 wax, TKO and 4 over a 4-hour COVID survivor. I'm talking about Alexander Povetkin. He got the COVID like 3 or 4 months ago, right? And they had to like put things off and this and that. So I think the COVID sort of hurt him because he looked like he was like never in the fight. And here was a guy that has been in every fight. I mean, he's had almost 40 fights. The only fights he's lost, of course, was stoppage and, to the 2012 Olympic gold medals, one of the current world heavyweight champions, Anthony Joshua. And before that, losing a decision to 1996 Olympic gold medalist and then world champion Vladimir Klitschko. So he had no shame on his record. I'm talking about Alexander Povetkin. Of course, White, what can I say about White? Lazy, fat, slow. Doesn't talk a good game. He likes it. Eddie Hearn likes him, the promoter. Of course, Eddie Hearn runs basically boxing on his own. So I guess Dillian White's going to get some more dates. And now he is the WBC interim title holder again. Of course, they've got to do this thing as far as these heavyweights are concerned because we've got Anthony Joshua, of course, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. I said the once beaten fighter, the guy that got knocked out by Andy Ruiz. Got knocked out by big old fat Andy Ruiz. Of course, Andy Ruiz is what I call him, but now I've got to call him Andy Ruiz because he's back in shape or looking back in shape. He's probably the slimmest I've ever seen him. So the comeback Andy Ruiz looks like he's going to do his thing a little bit later in the year. We'll talk about that fight maybe in hour number two. But Andy Ruiz, of course, part of this big stable. King Ryan Garcia, of course, he's a mandated now for a WBC interim title defense against Javier Fortuna. I mean, Canelo Alvarez, he's going to take on Billy Joe Saunders and in May, what I say, the entire DAZN thing is just rocking and rolling, because if you got DAZN, you're watching all the fights. I mean, ESPN's got some things going on, but when you look at ESPN, they've got Crawford, and they've got Crawford, and that's all they got is Crawford. So outside of that, they don't have a whole lot outside of Terrence Crawford on ESPN. I thought Manny Pacquiao, of course, talking about coming back, still wanting to fight at 41 years old. We'll see. But Oscar De La Hoya, Oscar De La Fishnuts, last time we saw him, what was he doing? He was posing in magazines wearing girls' clothes, and now he's coming back again. He says he wants to come back and fight a UFC fighter on July the 3rd. Why doesn't he just fight my 65-year-old butt, almost 65-year-old butt, if he's going to fight a UFC fighter? Sort of like fighting a guy with one hand. You know, Oscar's not much of a... What can I say? Think about Oscar. Think about the fishnets. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, taking it to Southern California, of course, bringing in the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. 48 years old, Larry Merchant. Oscar De La Hoya is going to try to make a fool out of himself, I guess, with a comeback.
I don't know who he's comebacking against, but I don't imagine it's Superman.
No, but, you know, he's going to take it on a UFC fighter. I mean, what is he? This just anyway.
So it's a boxing match, or
it's a boxing match, but it'll be with a UFC fighter
who has never boxed before.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? Oscar was the biggest draw of his time. He's a historic figure in boxing, and he sees that some ex-champions are making astonishing amounts of money with these exhibitions that have all the suckers waiting in line to see or not see, and I guess he wants to grab some of it.
You know, I got no real knock on the Golden Boy. Back in 1996, I promoted the last closed circuit television fight that was of note. That was Julio Cesar Chavez and Oscar De La Hoya. And I'm going to admit it. I made $20,000 that night. So thank God for Oscar. That's all I can say. Thank God for Oscar. Oscar De La Hoya, that was one hell of a night. We were turning people away. We had three screens in a theater in Spanish, one screen in English, and that was just a hit. No doubt about that. Of course, pay-per-view came along and just killed the world of closed circuit. You know, Larry, I used to think not only did I make some money at closed circuit, but I liked the closed circuit ambiance. We used to go to a closed circuit and everybody would sort of be there. It was just like going to the fights, except you weren't at the fights.
Agreed.
No, I missed.
I saw, although I went to Zaire for the Ali Foreman fight. Mm-hmm. When it was postponed and I went home because of some things I had written, they wouldn't let me back in the country. I mean, have you ever heard of a sports writer or announcer not being allowed in the whole country? And in any event, so I went to see the fight on closed circuit. And I had seen some before. The first closed circuit fight was Sugar Ray Robinson in the rematch with the British guy who upset him.
I can't think of his name right now.
What was his name? Do you recall?
Nope, don't.
He was a very tough, strong, awkward character, and Robinson was on the tail end of an international tour.
Was it Pinder? Pinter?
No. In any event, he lost to a bigger, stronger, awkwarder, and all that. And so they had a rematch from New York. The first fight was in Britain. And I went to see that rematch on closed theater. I think I paid $5. And that started boxing into another dimension.
You know, I remember talking to Bob Arum. I said, how did you ever get the boxing bug? He said he was working for the Justice Department, of course, as a U.S. attorney. and for the Kennedy administration in 1962, and he was told to go count the receipts, the closed circuit receipts of the Patterson Liston fight that was in Chicago, I think, at the White Sox mm-hmm. stadium. So anyway, he said that he realized there was so much money involved in boxing that he realized that being a U.S. attorney wasn't even worth it, not even worth the title. And of course, a couple years later, he was promoting Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, well, today they call it streaming, and in which you could make money from all over the country and even the world, and have people pay to see it. It's like if you had a stadium that seated 2 million people.
No doubt about that. Well, you know, I will say this, though. Some of the fights, the fact that there aren't people in the crowds, you can hear those body shots, Larry. I mean, it's taken boxing almost to a new level, and I would think that the promoters or the TV producers would realize that and probably try to enhance the in-mic rings. I mean, yeah, the in-ring mics, I mean, because that's, bat! You can hear those body shots now with nobody in the crowd.
Well, I'm not sure that they weren't afraid of turning off a lot of people with those sounds.
Well, I guess there's a flip side, both sides to it. I'm looking here at Robinson's record. Phil Moyer, Terry Downs, is that the guy he lost to?
No. He was a big, strong right-handed fighter, and Downs was a southpaw, and he lost to the guy either in 1950, 51, somewhere.
Okay. You know, spending time around him, he was smooth, he was purposeful, and he was lucid when I spent time with him in 1984. And he was explaining to me the greatness of fighters. And even though this would sort of trip me out, is even though Tommy Hearns had just knocked out Roberto Duran, Ray Robinson sat there for about 40 minutes and explained to me in his mind why Duran was a greater fighter.
Mm.
That was like, I was like, whoa. And he's talking about weight classes and things like that. But, yeah, he was – are we talking
well,
Randy?
Duran was a natural lightweight fighting a big welterweight.
Randy Turpin. How about Randy Turpin? Was that the one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Randy Turpin. Ray Robinson starting to slide at that point in time. You know, Ray Robinson, people say that he's the best fighter ever, pound for pound in this and that. Carmen Basilio told me he wasn't.
Carmen Basilio – was a big Carmen Basilio fan, I'll put it that way.
Well, he was such fun to be around, whether it was at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, excuse me, or having him on the phone. Talking about the former world welterweight and middleweight champion Carmen Basilio. He was in, I think he was an onion farmer from upstate New York.
Right.
Yeah.
But kind of sort of where his neighbors built the International Boxing Hall of Fame to celebrate him.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I've, you know, a lot of
he was a terrific fighter. You never got disappointed in a fight that he was in. He upset Robinson in their first fight.
Mm-hmm.
Robinson was in his mid-30s. Basilio was still in his prime. And then in the rematch in Chicago, and I saw both of these fights from ringside, Robinson just gave him a boxing lesson and puffed up his eye and made him look like a mess. And so in both of the occasions with Turpin
Robinson.
Yeah, that it was.
And Basilio.
And Basilio, they were two rough, strong guys. I got to tell you. I shook Basilio's hand a number of times. He had the most iron-fisted hand I've ever felt.
Well, you know what? He told it like it was. When I sung him "Happy Birthday" on the air, you know what he had? You know what his response was? What did your mother do? What did you do with the money your mother gave you? And I was dumbfounded. I go, "What do you mean, sir?" And he goes, "The money your mother gave you for singing lessons, kid. You can't sing a lick." Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back with Larry Merchant after the break.
feel nice, like sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got you.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
The low tower of power. I guess it's like not 1975 version, of course, of Soul Vaccination. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, come to you from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Our guest is on the line from Southern California, City of Angels. Of course, he is a retired HBO godfather, the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, as 2021 is upon us, who stands out in the world of boxing in your mind?
Well, I certainly think Tyson Fury stands out physically and every other way, a great showman and as well as a really tough and smart fighter. I think Anthony Joshua is close. Then, of course, there's Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Canelo.
As a super middleweight, and then I don't know, there's some others who young fighters who have used this period to get some fights and exposure, and particularly the lightweights, as we all know, and you can't exclude Spence and Crawford, but you'd wish they'd start fighting somebody if they can't get to fight each other. And I said, Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, those are the guys that come to mind.
Yeah, looks like Gervonta Davis was in the news this week. He was indicted on 11 charges regarding an auto accident with a Lamborghini or something like that, a hit and run. People think that since there's a couple of felonies involved, he's going to spend some time in jail. But this is the way celebrities get out of this, by paying people off and paying fines and restitution and that kind of good stuff, right? I mean, this is the way it's done. People pay
off. I don't
know.
Maybe he has to go back into poverty, so that he can build up his ambition on the straight and narrow. But he's a kid that's been in a lot of troubles and can't get out of his own way.
Like much like Adrian Broner, he did this live stream. You were talking about streaming earlier. He streamed on YouTube or one of those TikTok things with like $200,000 laying on his bed in cash, $100 bills running up and down. So then he had the nerve to go to court 5 days later and tell the judge he only had $41.
Well,
Broner.
I wasn't there, and those are stories I'm not completely aware of. But listen, prize fighters generally come from the underclass, and so you're going to have some of them who just don't know how to stay out of trouble and use their anger inside the ring instead of outside the ring.
How did George Foreman make the metamorphosis from a guy that was I watched him in the gym, Godfather, when he was a kid, and he was an animal beating up guys my size, middleweights and this and that, and then, of course, he had the big change, but before he had the big change, he had that dog jump off the balcony because he ordered the dog to do so, and the dog jumped off a balcony to its death. So he wasn't the prettiest guy or the nicest, most lovable guy in the world before he came back and had this metamorphosis. Was it religion that changed George Foreman, do you think?
I think it was certainly a part of it. I think that early on, when he was winning Olympic gold and so on, he felt that you had to be a badass outside the ring as well as inside the ring, and he modeled a big part of himself on Sonny Liston.
Mm-hmm.
because Sonny Liston was a guy who had been in prison and was a jailbird and got in trouble in three or four cities and drugs. And George thought, well, that his style as a fighter and that his origins from the Deep South, that was a guy to try to be like.
Okay. The Triller.
And then, and then 10 years where he became a preacher and made, I've never seen a change in a personality the way his was.
It was a metamorphosis. That's, I think that's the best way to describe it. I mean, he was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was watching my TV and I'm saying to myself, this is an act. This is an act. Okay. And then, you know, him doing the Wendy's commercial. This is an act. And then I did a pay-per-view commercial with him live in person in Richmond, California. And then I realized, you know what? Maybe this isn't an act. Maybe George really has changed for the good. Anyway, one question here. George Foreman, at his point in time, he's still an icon. I mean, he's selling all those grills, but back to what I'm trying to say, the grills. He made $45 million, somebody told me. He sold those grills for $45 million. That's a lot of money. He didn't ever need to fight.
Well, Pedro, that's a number I've never heard before because I was under the impression that he got close to $200 million.
Okay.
And that may have included doing a lot of commercials and doing a lot of sales over future years. But he made an enormous jackpot.
Okay. Godfather, who is Peter Kahn? Peter Kahn, this guy with Triller. Who do you remember? Did you know Peter Kahn?
No.
Okay, evidently he's supposed to be some boxing whiz guy who's going to run Triller now. Of course, Triller is trying to bring all these fighters together. Good luck on that one. We'll see what's happening there from the Silicon Valley. The tech industry is getting into boxing. Does that surprise you at all?
Oh, now that you mention that, I did read a story about this guy, and I don't even remember what I read, but no, it doesn't. Guys who've made triple fortunes by the time they're 30 or 35 are looking for ways, if not to make triple of those triple fortunes, to have some excitement in their lives. And boxing is a relatively easy game to ease in if you have those kind of bucks.
Good point. Boxing's picking up, of course, next week, April the 3rd. We've got Jamel Herring and Carl Frampton. That's going to be a pretty good fight on ESPN Plus, ESPN Plus in the Zone. Larry, you've got the Zone in ESPN Plus, correct?
I have the Zone. I'm not sure if I have ESPN Plus.
Well, I think you have ESPN, and that takes care of it. So how's the Godmama, and what are you guys going to do on this lovely Sunday?
Well, it's turned into a real spring day after some couple weeks of chilliness, and we're still trying to make it up as we go along. I have a park here that I go to walk and just breathe in the ocean and the beach and read my newspapers and see my grandkids.
Lucky you. Santa Monica, of course. Godfather, you have a great day. Kiss the Godmama for me. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, sir. I thank you so much for your time each and every week. I know you don't have to do this. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Pedro.
The great Larry Murch. What can I say? The retired HBO Godfather appearing exclusively on Sports Byline and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, baby.
Tall, some like a short, skinny legs and all. Have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here. There was a time.
just under 90 seconds remains in the fourth round.
We use that arm to try to take away the base.
Oh, look at the kicks.
That's old school Hickson Gracie style.
Oh, he's got the choke.
Stuck it in.
Penn looking to choke out Florian. BJ Penn looking to remain the champion. It is all over. BJ Penn has defeated Teddy Florian.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Let this music play a little bit. This is East Bay Soul. One of the Tower of Power founding members, Greg Adams of Westmore High School in Daly City, California, class of 1968. Of course, he was offered a free ride to the Juliet School of Music in New York. He turned it down to join Tower of Power, and the rest is history. But that is East Bay Soul. Check them out at eastbaysoul.com. They're doing Facebook concerts, I kid you not. Now, we switch our attention to the cage. We talk about the UFC, of course. Last night, the UFC Heavyweight Championship changed hands, as I predicted. Of course, wow, what can I say? Francis Ngannou, all 260 pounds. The guy's a monster. The guy's a big beast. Of course, a former professional boxer. The guy sort of maybe had a soft chin, couldn't deal with it in boxing, decided he would get into the world of mixed martial arts. He can punch, no doubt about it. He punches harder, I think, than any human being I've ever seen as far as, like, leverage and things like that, especially with those 4-ounce or basically no gloves on. But Stipe Miocic, the former Golden Glove champion of Cleveland, Ohio, the former Ohio State Golden Glove champion, a boxer, that was his beginning. His roots were as a boxer. Of course, learned the world of MMA, submission work, and that kind of good stuff. But last night, he was just no match for Francis Ngannou. I mean, he was like, put it this way, Francis Ngannou should have been arrested for domestic violence. He beat up on him so bad. I mean, it was such a mismatch in size. He had one guy like looking like, listen, in any other world of competition, combat, it would be ruled untrue. I mean, you can't do it. It's unfair. In other words, a guy's got like a 30-pound weight advantage over another guy who's trying to say, oh, well, the other, you know, the smaller guy's got speed. And they say, yeah, well, speed will only get you so far. I told you before, size matters in two things, X-rated films and combat sports. Outside of that, you know, not too much. But last night, Francis Ngannou, 52 seconds into round number two. I mean, Stipe Miocic was as polite as he can be because he knew what was coming. That, I mean, it was so predictable. This was the most predictable thing I've ever seen in my entire life as far as mixed martial arts are concerned. And no, I don't bet money on things, but if there was a fight I was going to bet money on, that was it. Francis Ngannou winning the USC Heavyweight Championship, of course, didn't get a scratch. I don't think he got hit once in the entire, 5 minutes and 52 seconds. Of course, the first round lasting 5 minutes, that was all about Ngannou. Landed a couple of punches, got him on the ground once or twice, but outside of that, Stipe Miocic just got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. The co-feature, bit of a prediction as well here. Vincent Luque, of course, defeated Tyrone Woodley. Tyrone Woodley, of course, the former USC 170-pound welterweight champion. This fight was at welterweight. He submitted in the second round with a Bravo choke. I don't know what that is. Sean O'Malley, one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC right now, 135-pounder. Nice kid, an Irish kid, all kinds of tattoos, that kind of good stuff. He looks like a street urchin, an Irish street urchin, but he can fight. I mean, he can really fight. He beat Thomas Almeida, knocked him out in the third round, 352 in one punch. I mean, he's the real deal. No doubt about that. Watch that name, Sean O'Malley, at 135 pounds. Outside of that, the rest of the card, it's semi sucked. As far as the rest of the UFC is concerned and the rest of the year, ho-hum, I'm not too big on that, except maybe Cody Garbrandt coming back on May 22nd. Outside of that, maybe TJ Dillashaw on May the 8th. But these are all guys that have already hit their peak and are coming back. In other words, they've been up here and they're down here now. You know, we really don't want to see those type of fighters, but the UFC doesn't have anything else. The pimp of them all, that's right, in my opinion, Dana White's a pimp. Why do I say that? Because I was a cop, and I know what pimps are. Real pimps. I met real pimps. I mean, real pimps working the streets of San Francisco, okay? And real pimps gave their clients, I guess that's the word I want to use, clients, they gave their clients more than 8 to 10 cents on the dollar. In other words, a girl did a favor for somebody, and it was $100, she wouldn't get 8 to 12 bucks. But if you're a UFC fighter, and you go out there and get in a death match, and some guy hands you your head, beats the snot out of you, can't you come an inch away from like getting your head handed to you, and you win, oh boy, you move on to the next level, but you don't get paid. You don't get any money. I mean, the few guys that are making money in the UFC, like maybe Miocic, he might have been able to get a good contract, of course, having been the heavyweight champion and had 3 title offenses. That's it. I mean, think about that. The heavyweight championship of the UFC has only been defended, as far as a record's concerned, 3 times, thrice. Come on, man. What does that tell you? Longevity is not in the cards. And Dana White built it like this. The death match after death match after death match. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you go into a fight, maybe 100%. Then you go, the beatings you take, you're like 94%. Then you're like 92%. And before you know it, you're in your 80s, okay, from these death matches, after death match. So when you step up to the title fights, maybe you can win a title, and guess what? But you're not going to defend it very long. Why? Longevity is not in the cards. Death match after death match. And Dana White, the pimp of all pimps, he should be arrested for pimping. I mean, he's a successful businessman. He and I have had our differences of opinion over the years, and I knew him when he was when he came out to Las Vegas. He was a boxing slug. He was like working in West Boston until Whitey Bulger. The mafia ran Dana White out of town. If it wasn't for the mafia, we wouldn't have to deal with Dana White's ass. I'm just putting it to you like that. We wouldn't, because Whitey Bulger, remember him? The guy that got beat to death about a year ago in prison. Of course, he was the guy that was hiding out about a mile and a half from Larry Merchant's house in Santa Monica, California. I kid you not. He was hiding out for like, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. But anyway, he was the most notorious, mafia guy, gangster on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. Okay. So he gets popped, but he threatened Dana White. I guess it was in the 90s. He said, hey, Dana, if you don't pay, Dana was running some little, gym in West Boston, a boxing gym. And he said to Dana, unless you start paying me $2,500 a month, you can't open your gym anymore. And Dana told him something like, you know, go get screwed or something like that. I can't pay you $250 a month, let alone $2,500. Anyway, Dana told him to go get screwed, but guess who left town? Dana White. Dana White ran out of town. He fled Boston, of course, ended up in Vegas. Got hooked up with the Fertitta brothers, of course, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, the owners of the Station Casinos and the Palace Casinos. These are neighborhood casinos in Las Vegas, not on the Strip per se, but these are in like different, some are spread out in different towns around Vegas, things like Paradise and places like that. But straight up, they were like zillionaires, of course, and their money came from illegal card games in Dallas, Texas. Back when there were illegal card, back in the days of President Kennedy, when he got killed down there in Dallas, Texas, the Fertitta family were running illegal card games because big gambling was illegal in Texas at that point in time, all card clubs. So they ran these illegal card clubs, and they made a fortune. What happened? They took their fortune to Las Vegas and ended up buying casinos and getting legitimate. So they went from, like, the semi, the mob, the Fertitta family, to now being, of course, running the USC, owning the USC, and then selling the USC, buying it for a couple of million bucks and selling it for, like, $4.2 billion. And, of course, that's the biggest coup they ever pulled off. I mean, I'm telling you, Dana White's got 10%. That's the biggest coup they ever pulled off, without a doubt. I mean, that's $4,200 million. You don't think the UFC's worth that? Hell no, the UFC's not worth that. Anyway, the UFC will suck into the rest of the year. I don't think they're going to have a good 2021. I'm looking at their schedule right here. Good luck, Dana White. But you're going to need it, and there's no doubt about it. Now, we switch to boxing. Of course, the WBC interim title on the line. I'm talking about Dillian White. Of course, the guy that got knocked out in his last fight. When he got knocked out with that punch, I just said, I just sort of chuckled and said to myself, you brought that on yourself. I mean, he's fat. He doesn't take care of himself. I don't think he's the most well-conditioned fighter as far as physically concerned. I mean, you look at his torso, he doesn't look like the most cut-up athlete in the world. Not that you have to be heavyweight champion of the world, I guess, but, you know, it does help. Anyway, last night, Dillian White got his revenge by stopping Alexander Povetkin. Of course, as I said, Povetkin having lost twice before to both gold medalists in the Olympics. Anthony Joshua, 2012, got stopped by him, and of course, got beat by decision on points by the 1996 Olympic gold medalist, Vladimir Klitschko. Well, last night, Povetkin didn't make it very long, got TKO'd in the fourth round, got knocked down, got up, they said, that's enough, no more, of course. And why? I think that COVID stuff, that didn't help him out any, no doubt about that. I'm not trying to say that he was going to win or anything like that, but when you have the COVID virus and you're trying to breathe and you're trying to train, all that kind of good stuff, I just don't know if you can recover that quickly. In fact, I keep looking at these stats saying that it's like 50% of people, they get COVID, that they've got the symptoms like 6 or 7 months later. Friends of mine, like Hector Martinez, said he had a little, some stomach irritation, I think a headache and maybe some, loose bowels. And but outside of that, I mean, he didn't complain about the virus. Of course, his daughter brought it home from college and he and the wife got it, and they both all three of them basically cruised through it in less than a week and a half or so. But, you know, he's got the vaccine. I got the vaccine. We're getting our second vaccine. on Wednesday. I think that's March 31st at San Francisco Hospital. Of course, this is the place to go. There's no doubt about it. In fact, I don't think there's any big lines anymore as far as California is concerned. In fact, they expect to have vaccinations available for all age groups in a couple of weeks. So no matter what your age group is, I think you want to lean towards the science and lean towards getting this vaccine. I mean, me, I'm one of the biggest doubters in the world. I just am. I doubt everything. I'm a doubter, okay? But I looked up the vaccine. I remember the vaccine when I was a kid, taking the measles vaccine, taking the polio vaccine, of course, and surviving both of those and not having any residual effects from that. And here I am like 50 years later. So, you know, it's 50 years in the world of vaccines, I think is a long time. And unless you think that Bill Gates is going to be shooting some chip inside you, you should get the vaccine. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you get the vaccine and like, you know, you get these like bad side effects from the vaccine, that means the virus would have kicked your ass and you would have went to the hospital and probably been in ICU with a ventilator. I kid you not. That's what I've been told. If the vaccine kicks your butt, residual effects, side effects, oh, I don't feel too good a couple days after the vaccine. Guess what? The virus would have kicked your ass. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. April 17, Jake Paul. Who the hell is Jake Paul? He's some YouTube guy. He's going to take on Ben Askren. Of course, he wants to box and win a Mayweather. I think he's tight with Mayweather anyway. But get this. He wants to box, so he's going to bring in a guy that's a kickboxer. Ben Askren's a wrestler. That's who he's a wrestler, an MMA guy, but he's a wrestler, basically. So he's going to bring in a guy that's never boxed before, much like Oscar De La Hoya. Anyway, that's going to be on pay-per-view. You going to buy that? If you're going to buy that, please don't buy that. That's a bit of a ripoff. Anyway, on the same card, Rage's Progress, who can fight, taking on Ivor Redkits, of course. You can always watch these fights on the internet, wink, wink. And of course, Steve Cunningham taking on Frank Mir. Frank Mir, the former UFC heavyweight champion. Steve Cunningham, the former WBC cruiserweight boxing champion. So I guess that's a mixed match right then and there. April 17th, good fight on Fox. We'll talk about Tony Harrison, the former WBC 154-pound champion, lost to Charlo. I think he traded fights with Charlo. They're 1-1, the younger Charlo, the smaller Charlo. Take that. Can't be a younger Charlo. They're twins. Anyway, so the 154-pound Charlo, I think his name is Jamal, and Jamel is at 160, or Jamel's at 160. Anyway, bottom line is you get it, what I'm trying to say. Brian Prairiella is going to be the opponent April 17th on Fox for Tony Harrison. April 23rd, UFC Fight Pass. Heather Hardy taking on Jessica Camaro. Heather can fight a little bit. They're going to fight at 135 pounds. Those are obviously females. And the 24th, man, what did I say? Fighter of the Year a couple years ago, in my mind, the former WBO 122-pound champion. I'm talking about Emmanuel Navarrete taking on Christopher Diaz. That's a battle for the 126-pound WBO belt. On the same card, the man with all those knockouts in the first round. 16 fights, 16 first-round knockouts to Puerto Rican Edgar Berlanga. He's taking on Desmond Nicholson. Now, listen to this. Of course, our PhD, our boxing PhD, will be here in hour number two. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. He's made some bold predictions in the past couple of months, you know, about guys winning and guys losing. And like 5-1 underdogs, I'm saying to myself, I don't know. Anyway, but he's been right. So Socrates has been right. So the great predictor has been right. So what I'm trying to say is that Berlanga and Desmond Nicholson, he says that Nicholson will last longer than the first round. Okay, that remains to be seen. But if Socrates said it, you know you can take it to the bank. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, we come to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. And, of course, we do this, the Twitch.tv thing, it'll be on delay. In other words, after the show's over, you can watch it as well again on Twitch.tv. Of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. This is your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How does that grab you?
Well, I'll tell you right after I get violently ill.
Al Lewis, Grandpa of the Munsters, ran that restaurant in New York City. Pretty cool about that. Used to greet people, go in there and see Grandpa Munster. I kid you not. So one day we had some Girl Scout cookies and per se went and saw Grandpa Munster. I thought that was one of the good trips pre 9/11 to New York City. After 9/11, New York City wasn't that cool. Anyway, speaking of not that cool, Danny Garcia, of course, the former 140-pound world champion, tried to compete at 147. Now he wants to fight at 154. Danny, go get a job, man. I mean, the last fight he had against, I think it was December 5th, against Earl Spence down there in Texas. I mean, although Steve Weisfeld had you winning four rounds, I didn't have you winning any. So what I'm trying to tell you is, like, it's just time to go away. Danny, you don't want to fight anymore. You won't engage yourself. You won't commit yourself. It's like, safety first. Let me make some money. I made a lot of money in real estate. Yeah, well, take your money in real estate and go somewhere. No longer, you know, take up TV dates and boxing. But the bottom line is, at 154, you're going to get hurt. The WBC has got something going on at 115 pounds. Of course, the WBC 150 pound champion, Juan Francisco Estrada, had won that title a couple of weeks ago. Actually, defended in a unification match with Chocolito Gonzalez of Nicaragua. Of course, that would ended in a bit of controversy, and the WBC released a statement after receiving the input of all involved parties and considering their respective positions. The WBC Board of Governors has unanimously voted in favor of the WBC Super Flyweight Tournament, which will provide the necessary structure for the Super Flyweight Division and give boxing fans around the world a chance, a series of great upcoming bouts. Of course, the WBC's got Super Flyweight champion Juan Francisco Estrada as the designated franchise fighter of that division. The division mandatory challenger, here we go, Siriskat Soirungavasai. Damn, I call him Winglesat. Anyway, he's got 19 names. He's going to fight for the WBC title. Looks like he will take on Mr. Estrada and Gonzalez, the winner of that. They're going to go a third time, get this a third time. The recent bout, Estrada and Gonzalez, they threw 2,529 punches with no clinches in 12 rounds. More power to them. That is true boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Also, WBC Boxing TV. I got to say that because the patent is wrong. If I say WBC TV, they get upset. So I got to say WBC Boxing TV. But straight up, hour number two is still coming. We'll hear from Oscar Valdez, the current world 130-pound champion, and the great boxing PhD, Socrates Palmer, that and more. And hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV, right after the break. Stay tuned!